There's a lot of stuff that goes on in the world. And what I've noticed is that there is an increasing amount of blame that gets leveled everywhere. Well, you know, it's this fault, and it's that fault, and it's his fault, and it's her fault, and it's their fault. And, you know, it's true. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in this world that's really bad. And if you want to isolate it to this nation, you can, but you can isolate it to any nation. There's a lot of stuff that goes on. Everybody has a history. Everybody. We all have a story to tell. So we have people that are facing a lot of things in life. It can be, well, you all had a bad childhood. There was abuse in my past. And it doesn't simply have to be as a child. It can be as, you know, an adult. There can be abuse. I'm suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Went through a bad divorce. There's substance abuse, which, you know, alcohol, drugs, whatever. There's social injustice. Seriously, you know. I get a kick out of that one. You know, when people sell out to that one, there's no reasoning. I mean, there's just flat out no reasoning. And I know that, you know, it's like you walk on eggshells when you talk about some of this stuff. Well, I'm going to break a few. And I'm not trying to start trouble. You can get mad at me if you want. But history is history. Facts are facts. And what it is what it is. The social injustices, now let me just lay a little bit of groundwork. Okay, yeah, there are things that have happened that are wrong and bad. But, you know, I guess if you want to cast stones, you can, but when I see these riots and all these black folks rioting in the streets, I find it amazing they tear up their own community. And they don't go into the communities they're blaming for the problem. And they talk about, well, you know, social injustices. Okay, what does it mean? I mean, really, give me a pure definition. Well, you know, we're mistreated. Okay. Help me understand that one. Well, you know, things just aren't fair. Okay. Help me understand that. Well, you owe me because my great-great-great-grandpappy was your great-great-great-grandpappy's slave. How do you know that? How do you... Hey, I was adopted as a baby. I don't know anything about my history. I don't know. Well, then it was your adopted great-great-grandpappy. You don't give up here, do you? And you know, here's what's interesting. No matter how bad black folk have it nowadays, and no matter how bad it was during the years of slavery, when slavery in this country was at its worst, it pales in comparison to what the Jews went through under Roman rule. There's no comparison. You know, I agree. You know, black folk have been shot and killed when they shouldn't have been. Okay, fine. There it is, out on the table. But do you realize that under Roman rule, a Roman soldier could kill a Jewish person and just walk away from it? And some folks would say, well, yes, but the Jews were free. It was an illusion. Because if the Romans wanted what you had, they could come and take it. No argument. You had no recourse. There was no legal recourse. None. You know, when Jesus was talking about if somebody compels you to go a mile, you know, go the extra mile. Okay, the reason he said that was because back in those days, If a Roman walked up to a Jewish person and said, you know, I'm tired of carrying my stuff. I want you to carry it. And the law was that person had to carry it for a mile. And if that person, that Jew, refused, that soldier could kill that person right there on the spot and leave him lay. It was far worse for the Jews than anything that was going on during the peak of slavery in this country. In fact, back in 64 AD, Rome burned. Now, have you ever seen the pictures or the stories of like Nero was playing the fiddle, his violin, while Rome burned? Okay. Well, the story was that he set it on fire for his own amusement. I mean, he was kind of, you know, he needed therapy. And he realized, okay, this isn't going so well for me. So what he did was create a story that the Christians set fire to Rome. And because he created that story, they went out and they got some Christians and they tortured them until they admitted, okay, you know, I did it. I set the fire. That's all they needed. Because then they said, we have the testimony of some Christians that they did this in rebellion to Rome and to Caesar. And so therefore, it was open season on the Jews. And they, you know, you've heard the stories of being in the arenas and the lions and so forth. Okay, that's where a lot of this is coming from. They would take Jews and wrap them in the skins of dead animals and then turn wild, hungry dogs loose on them. They would, the torture was unbelievable. They would take Jews and just crucify them. The roads would be lined with Jews crucified along, just because they were Jews. And then at night, they would set them on fire so they would have night lights along the roads. It was horrible. Absolutely horrible. You know, in the peak of slavery, here, plantation owner number one could not go to plantation owner number two's plantation and take his slaves. But under Roman rule, the Jews, they had to do whatever the Romans told them to. I mean, there was no protection of any kind. Now, here's what I'm getting at. You can take all this stuff that's going on and all of these things that people talk about, and if you are a person who lays blame for your condition on any of these kind of things, not just the social injustice, but, you know, my mama beat me, or I mean, whatever it was, eventually what happens is this dictates the way you think. And it dictates how you interpret almost anything in life. And you become the victim no matter what. No matter what happens, it's always whatever issue that you've identified as being the worst. Well, these kinds of things, as a Christian, have no place in your life. And yet, a lot of Christians, they allow their past, whatever's happened, to control their lives. They use a lot of these things as excuses. But you see, as a believer, these things can either control you or you can rise above them, and it's totally up to you, whatever you want. Now what you see in the body of Christ, and technically, even out there in the world of the lost, but let's kind of focus here on the body of Christ. You have a lot of these programs, these help programs, these therapy programs, these deliverance programs in churches. And like in one particular program, I'm not naming names, but in one particular program, they have a person who is your, I don't know what they call them, therapist, mediator, whatever. You meet with this person in a room, and many times what they'll do is dim the lights or light some candles and turn the lights out to create a calming atmosphere. All right, well, I understand that. I mean, that's not a bad thing. But in the sessions, what they want you to do is go back and relive all the painful moments of your life. And, you know, go deep into your soul. Deep into your soul. And feel that pain. Feel it again. And now, begin to release. And I've heard the stories of people just like breaking down and crying like babies in this. And then when it's over, they, oh, I feel so much better. I feel, you know, like there's been a release. Of course there's been a release. Because if you can get somebody to cry, crying releases toxins in the human body. This is a scientifically proven thing. If you can get somebody to cry, that's why, you know, a lot of times when you cry, even if you cry when you're happy, you know, there's something about it, you start feeling better. There is a release. It's just the way it is. There is a release. You know, and it's, I've heard women talk about, sometimes I just need a good cry. And I'm thinking, that's weird. Why? Well, it's because they feel better after they have a good cry. You know, why are you crying? I don't know. I just need to. Okay, let me know when you're done. I'm going to go watch the football game. Okay, crying, though, is a natural form of release for anybody. So therefore, it isn't necessarily the program that's helping the person. You're just getting them to release. Now, speaking of a Christian, you know, if deliverance, if this kind of, well, I got to break free from a bad childhood, my abuse, my PTSD, my divorce, my social injustice, and whatever the list is for you, if breaking free from that is dependent upon therapists and programs. Now, if you only half listen to this, you're going to tremendously find fault with it. So really pay attention here. If being free from that stuff is dependent upon therapists and programs, then a person with a Bible and no therapist or program cannot be delivered. Now think about it. If your freedom, if your deliverance from that stuff is dependent upon the program or the therapist, and all you have is a Bible, and you do not have a program or a therapist, then you cannot be free. Do you understand what I'm saying? If this is it, the Word of God is the only thing you have, I can't afford to go through one of these programs. All I have is my Bible. Well, too bad for you, dude. You're just kind of stuck, aren't you? I guess you're going to be bound the rest of your life. Now, when I say it like that, it is ludicrous. And you see that. But that's not how it's presented in these programs. If you have the Word of God is the revelation of your freedom. It's the revelation of your deliverance. See, this thing that a lot of people talk about, inner healing, to use that phrase, it's far more successful when the inner healing therapist or program teaches Christians to exalt their new nature over their soul. Because when you get people to focus in on who they've become in Christ, they will walk out of all that bondage. All of that, however you want to describe it, from their past. But if you're not going to do that, then you need the world system. Bottom line. If you're not going to lead people to focus on who they become in Christ and what Jesus has done for them, if you're not going to do that, then you do need these other programs to help as much as they can possibly help. And I appreciate all those programs because they do help to a certain point. But none of them can make a person as free as Jesus Christ can make a person. It just can't. Now, they'll help. And really what they're doing is helping people to cope They're not really helping people to break completely free. Now, some folks would disagree with that. Oh, no, I'm free from my past. Or you know what? Okay, if you are, praise God for that. And I'm glad. I really am. And I mean that sincerely. But see, people who truly want help, they aren't always going to find it in the world system. How many times do people keep going back to therapists over and over again? How many programs are there? How many times do you have to keep seeking out, you know, a good Christian counselor? But folks who really, truly, and I mean they honestly want help, will always, 100% of the time, get that help on a permanent basis from Jesus Christ. Always. There's no exception. Absolutely none. You know, when Jesus said, I've come to set the captives free, that's not simply a matter of being in captive to the sin nature. That's where it starts. But beyond that, I can be set free from all this stuff. All of it. When a Christian knows this and accepts it, and that's a key. You can know it, but if you don't accept it, you know what? I'm sorry. There's not much that can be done for you. When you know it and you accept it, then you can break free of anything from your past. You can break free from substance abuse. The power of God's life in you is more powerful than whatever is, quote, addicting your flesh body. You can be free. Now, somebody would want to argue with that, but now wait, we're talking about the power of God's life in an individual. You're telling me that what is impacting the natural physical body is more powerful than the life of God in an individual? I'm sorry, I don't buy into that. That's not right. That's not true. I want to show you a few scriptures. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There are so many passages in Scripture that could be used to deal with this. But see, when it comes to, well, this is what happened to me in the past, and this is what happened to me, and so on and so forth. It's almost kind of strange, but there are some Christians, they don't seem to want to be free from this. It's almost like they want to hold on to this stuff and they use it as some sort of, well, it's weird. They use it to draw attention to themselves. Well, this is what I've gone through. You know what? Praise God. But are you born again? Yes, I'm born again. All right, well, let me tell you what else you've gone through. You've gone through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now look here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I know this is speaking on a spiritual level. However, the concept is relative to what's happened to you in your past. See, God does not deny what happened before, but he wants you focused on what happened at born again. You have become a new creation. Old things are passed away. Who you've become in Christ is not the person who was abused or whatever in the past. You're not that person anymore. The life that was in you at that time is no longer in you. You are a new creature. Look in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. You know, I've shared this with you before, and I made mention of it just a few moments ago about how I was adopted as a baby. Well, you know, I could hang on to, I just don't know why Mama rejected me. I don't know why Daddy didn't want me around. I mean, I was just a baby. I didn't do anything wrong. Wasn't my fault I got born. I mean, I could play that card my whole life. And I could say, well, you know what? Why didn't they love me? I didn't do anything. I'm innocent. Why'd they do that? I could play that over and over and over again. But I'm not, and I never have. I'm not going to waste my time with that stuff. You know what? They gave me up for adoption. I don't know what my life would have been had they kept me. I mean, my birth mother was only 14 years old when she got pregnant. 15 years old when she gave me up for adoption. Now think about that. And that's back in the mid-50s. Things were different back then. Social attitudes and all that. Well, you know what? I praise God for the upbringing I did get. You know, I ended up in a home where mom and dad loved Jesus, were born again, went to church, dragged me there whether I wanted to go or not. And I'm glad they did. Hallelujah. Well, now look here in John chapter 8. In verse 23, Jesus is speaking. He says, "You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world." Well, of course he wasn't of this world. Now, wait a second. He had a human body. So he was, quote, of this world from that perspective. However, what he was saying is, as far as who I really am, you know, you see a human being in front of you, and I am a human being, but I'm not of this world. I'm not of this world. And look over in John chapter 17. He's speaking very prophetically past the cross. And in John chapter 17, in verse 16, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." So Jesus is saying, yeah, I'm here in the world, but I'm not of the world. And those who put their faith in me and they're born again, guess what? They're a new creature in me. And they are not of this world. Okay, you know what? The abuse, the lousy divorce, the PTSD, the substance abuse, I mean, all these things, all of them are of this world. All of them. Every single one of them. Now, what that means is, since I've been born again, I'm no longer of this world. This is the Word of God. So if I'm no longer of this world, why in the world would I let the things of this world control my life, dictate my attitudes, and set the course of my thinking? Why? Why would I do that? You know, in another place in the New Testament, it says, if you're of God, I'm paraphrasing, if you're born again, if you're of Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated there next to the Father. Seek those things. Because I'm not of this world. Yeah, I'm in it, I have to deal with it. And stuff's going to happen. Let me tell you something. From this moment right now, where you're sitting, or wherever you are as you're listening to this, between now and the time that you see Jesus, whether you die or he comes back, somebody is going to treat you wrong. What was that song by Neil Diamond years ago? Another "Somebody Done Somebody Wrong" song? Hey! Dun, 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 dun. All right, anyway. You know what? Somebody's going to do you wrong. And it may be somebody that you didn't think would do you wrong. It's going to happen. Well, what are you going to do? Let it be the anchor? No, what you're supposed to do is say, you know, in Christ, I'm a new creature. I'm a new creation. I'm not of this world. This stuff is of this world, but I'm not of this world. That, I sure don't like it. I don't like what you did. I don't appreciate it. However, I am not lowering myself to that level. And I'm not going to let it impact me or affect me. I'm not going to do it. I am not of this world, and that is of this world. Well, does that mean that when it comes to when things are wrong, I mean legitimate social injustices, that somebody shouldn't say anything? Well, no, it doesn't mean that at all. I mean, my goodness, look what Martin Luther King accomplished without riots. you cannot measure the good that he did for this country, for everybody, for everybody. And people are going to say, well, yeah, but, you know, morally there were some questions and blah, blah. You know what? Oh, hush. What he accomplished, he's one of the greatest men that's ever lived in this country. Absolutely one of the greatest. Now, we're not of this world. And if you look here in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." Ye shall have abuse. Ye shall have a bad childhood. Ye shall have PTSD. Ye shall have blah, blah, blah. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And if I'm in Him, that overcoming the world is now a part of who I am. In Christ, I've overcome the world. That means I've overcome all this stuff. And I don't have to let it control me. I don't have to let it set the course of my thinking. Look, you got to understand, in this world, there are a lot of jerks out there of all colors. There are jerks everywhere. Every nation is full of them. And there are people who really don't care about others. They are excessively narcissistic. They want what they want, and that's all that matters. You even find people like that in the body of Christ. Okay, so get it settled that what the Beatles sang about is never going to happen. You know, all we are asking is give peace a chance. Okay, you know what? Some people define peace as what I want. You give me what I want, then we'll have peace. So this is the world we live in. Stuff is going to happen. You're going to be mistreated. People, that's just how it is. Jesus even said, look, if they did it unto me, they're going to do it unto you. Look over in Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. Verse 20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Okay, so your mama done wrong? Your daddy don't dance and your mama don't rock and roll, okay? All right? I'm really aging myself here, am I not? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Okay, somebody say, what are you talking? That was a song. That was a really old song. You know, Barry can tell you all about it. You are a new creature in Christ. Your identity, as far as your family history is concerned, has one generation above you, and that's God. That's it. There's nobody in between. You don't have a great-grandfather in the spirit, a spiritual great-grandfather. You have a father, and that's it. You have lots of brothers and sisters, but there's only one generation above you, and then there's you. You can't, as a Christian, you cannot legitimately use what mama and daddy and grandma and grandpa and everybody else did and say, that's just how it is in our family. Are you not, as a Christian, a member of the family of God? You have a new family. Oh, and by the way, how many of you know in most families there's at least one person who's just kind of odd? Okay, all right? The same is true in the body of Christ. We have some odd family members. They go to other churches, all right? They don't. But you can't keep blaming your natural family for your present conditions. Because you see, that's of the world. And God's not holding you accountable for what they did. Now, you can have Christians going to tell you, oh, you need to find out what mama did and what grandpappy did and all that, and you need to break that. It's already been broken. The moment I got born again, anything of that stuff was severed from me. All right? I am a new creature in Christ. I am a chosen generation. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm not a part of that anymore. In fact, I'll tell you something else. Some people could say, well, you know, this get-ye-goomy syndrome, I mean, it gets passed down from generation to generation. And boy, I tell you what, it just messes up your legs and everything. Hey, that can be broken through Christ to where not only are you healed of it, but the generations after you aren't going to be messed up by it. See, this is the reality of what Jesus has done for us. So I cannot continue to blame my past, my predecessors, if you will. But there's more to it than that. Look over in Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Now look here, beginning in verse 1. This is going to sound very familiar to you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now look here in verse 4. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Now, in verses 1, 2, and 3, he's talking about ministering to the individual. In verse 4, it sounds like this has nothing to do with the individual, but it does. What he's saying here, now relative to this message here tonight, the desolation of your past generations no longer has to dictate your future. Well, this is just the way it's been. You know, our family, I mean, our family's always been poor. Our family's never had anything. Our family, how many of you have heard stories about, you know, somebody, and skin color's irrelevant, but, you know, somebody who says, hey, you know, I'm the first person ever in my family to graduate from college. So we have what? How many generations never graduated from college? Now, all of a sudden, somebody has graduated from college. And that person can stand up and say, nobody else did it, but I did it. And if I can do it, so can you. See this? So when it comes to us in Christ, the desolations of our generations past do not have more power than who we are in Christ to dictate our future. It can't happen unless we let it. And that's where we can hold on to all of that stuff. And see, that's what happens. It is such an incredible attack of the enemy. If I can just keep hammering you with all of this abuse, 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 you know, stress, 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 this and that, that and this, social injustice here, all of this, if I can just keep hammering you with this and you buy into it, he keeps you bound. He keeps you locked up. And then you blame everything. No, really, the blame, it comes back on us as individuals for not understanding who we've become in Christ Jesus, and the fact desolations of the past no longer have to control my future. I can be the first one in my family to graduate from college. Here a few years ago, we had a birthday party for Don Scott. And he turned, what was it, 64? No, it was 70, age 70? Anyway, he reached an age in his life that no male in the history of their family had ever reached. They had all died before reaching that age. And he not only reached that age, but he has since passed that age. So now, he has blazed a trail. He has gone where no man has gone before. I'm going from songs to movies. But see, he's done it. Now here's the thing. He's done it while battling all kinds of health issues. And he's lived this long. I can tell you one of the reasons why this has happened. It's not simply good medical care. It's because he's put his faith in Jesus Christ. He's focused on who he's become in Christ. And he's had an excellent support system of like-minded believers around him, speaking God's life into him, praying God's life over him. And so now he's a testimony of this very thing. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And one verse, verse 16. Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Okay, now, very briefly. Having the mind of Christ means we can come to the place of fully comprehending what it means that the desolations of past generations, it happened then, but it doesn't have to happen in me. We draw a line here, it's over. I am not what my past family members were. I am now something different. Even if my past family members were Christians, if they did not understand this, they would have just continued to buy in to all of the poverty or the sickness or the desolation or whatever it was and continued to live that way. But see, now, since I have the mind of Christ, I have the ability to develop a mindset that is contradictory to that other way of thinking. Yeah, it's true. Maybe I did have a bad childhood. Maybe everybody in my family had a bad childhood. But I don't have to think that way anymore. Maybe I was abused, but I don't have to think that way anymore. And again, I appreciate all the help that the world offers to try to make a difference in people's lives. You know, the divorce care groups and the battered women's groups and the child abuse groups, I mean, they're all over the place. And again, praise God for all the help they offer. But I'm telling you, there's a permanent solution in Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we need to be pointed to that instead of just to a bunch of groups. In these groups, you know, sometimes people, they do need to talk about it. They need some kind of a release. I mean, emotionally, they need a release. But see, when you come to the place of growing in the understanding of what I'm sharing, you will eventually get to the point of not needing a release in a group setting. You know that you can go before the throne of grace and release there. And you know that you do not... See, what happens in some of these groups, when somebody talks about, you know, their stuff, whatever it is, it can have a reverse effect in that it could reinforce to somebody else in that group, it's okay to be like this. I'm not alone. Well, you know what? You're right, you're not alone. But it's from God's perspective, okay? It's not all right to stay like that. It's not. Not when he has provided the answer through Jesus Christ. See, complete deliverance is in Christ. Complete deliverance. I want to read to you a prophetic word. I don't recall if I've read it here before. I may have, but it fits very well into this message. Teaching alone which does not direct the people toward faith that they may receive the will of the Father by the hands of the Spirit in their lives is void of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Even when teaching those things that are milk, the end result is to eventually point the people to their Father and cause them to understand that it is by the Father's Spirit, through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may receive all that the Father has for them. Teaching that does not direct the people into this is void of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've come to set the captives free. And if, as a believer, see, you can have this, you know, well, I just feel bound to whatever because such and such happened. You know what? Those are paper chains. You know what a paper chain is? That's where you take these strips of paper and you make circles and you loop another one and glue them together and you end up with this long paper chain. A paper chain can't hold anybody. I mean, even little babies could rip a paper chain. However, when you believe that these things have you in bondage, then even a paper chain holds you down. Because from God's perspective, you're not that person anymore. You have been set free. You have been delivered. You know, I don't have a problem with, you know, deliverance, prayer lines, but that's not really the answer. Because we can pray over you in a prayer line, but if you go away still thinking, bound, lousy past, you know, still, you know, dealing with all that stuff, what good is it? You have to come to the place of grasping this truth and knowing, I'm not bound to this stuff anymore. I mean, yeah, it happened, and because it happened, well, it's had an impact on me, but I don't have to remain impacted. I can be set free. I can rise above this thing and no longer let it have dominion in my life, regardless of what it is. Well, you know, there's a family history of what? Of what? A lot of people are absolutely terrified of a family history of fill in the blank. Okay, so stuff happened in your family history. What are you going to do about it? You can't change what happened in the past, but you can change how you're dealing with it now and how it controls you in the future. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that we could go through and experience a negative kind of a something that Jesus Christ does not have the answer for. Absolutely nothing. Well, you know, I've heard, I don't want to listen now, because what I'm getting ready to say could really offend a whole lot of people, okay? But there are women whose mama had breast cancer, died. Grandma had breast cancer and died. Three aunts had breast cancer and died. And so this woman says, you know, I don't want to go through that. So she goes through a bunch of testing and decides, even though she has no cancer, to have a double mastectomy. Okay, now, I understand that from the world's perspective, that is a method of prevention. I understand that. I understand that. Everybody who was half asleep a moment ago, listen, I understand that. However, what I do know is this. Your whole family may have had breast cancer. Even, you know, your dad, men can get it too, you know. But you don't have to. You don't have to. And one of the worst things you can do is let that history sow fear into your life. I'm not saying don't go through the test. Don't misunderstand me. But what I'm saying is you also need to be going to God the Father, your Father, God, and talking to Him about this and getting clear direction from Him as to what you're supposed to do. Now, I'm not trying to mess people up going through medical therapy. I'm not trying to do that at all. But see, as Christians, we have a higher authority than the medical field. I'm not saying don't go to doctors. I'm not saying don't take your medicine. Okay, I want to make sure you're clear on this. But what I'm saying is, be sure that you're exalting God and His Word and who you are in Christ above all the rest of it, even if you're going through all the rest of it. Stay focused on Jesus. You know, one of the greatest testimonies you could ever hear is of Jamie's dad and what he went through. You know, he beat cancer. But then that thing came back on him. And he went to God and he said, well, God, do I stand like I did the last time? And God said, no, this time you need to go through the medication, the therapy. And so he did. And he did. So see, there's no condemnation by going the medical field way. But you've got to go to God, okay? The past does not have to be who you are. Who you are is what God has declared in His Word. And that's what we have to live by, and that's where the peace and the freedom exists. Praise God. There is total freedom and deliverance in Jesus Christ. Father, I thank You that we don't have to remain bound to anything of our past. It happened. We can't deny it. And according to the way the world is, we can't say it never took place. It did happen. But it doesn't have to control us. It doesn't have to dictate the way we think. We acknowledge the past because it did take place. But, like the Apostle Paul, Father, we forget those things that are behind. We no longer let them control us. And we acknowledge who we are in Christ. Focus on that and live that way. Thank you. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you so much that there is absolute freedom and deliverance in you. Praise you, Jesus. My past generations, the ones I don't know about and the ones from my adopting family, they do not control me.